I live in Israel. This season is dedicated to the memory of the 1,400 of my countrymen who were massacred on October 7th and the 240 people that were kidnapped and are being held hostage by the terrorist organization Hamas. Hopefully they will be returned to their families as soon as possible, and hopefully this terrible war will be able to come to a peaceful end very soon. And welcome to minute 24 of season 6 of Movie on Minute, the daily podcast where we take a Capra-esque journey through the 1946 classic It's a Wonderful Life, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again today is Tierney Steele of the Apocalypse Now Minute. Welcome back to the show, Tierney.
Hi, thanks for having me back. Just in time to jump into the pool.
Well, I want to cheer you on because you must be good. Yeah, I mean, it's funny. Yesterday we had a minute where there was basically only talking by a character, and today we have almost no talking whatsoever. There's a lot of action, a lot of stuff going on.
Mm-hmm.
So minute.
We're so adorably oblivious.
Yes. Minute 24 begins with lots of people dancing and cheering as the Sarlacc pit begins to open beneath their feet. And ends.
Sarlacc pit or Rancor pit?
You know what? Yeah, it could also be the Rancor. It's a good point. Does the Rancor open that? No, the Rancor is just a trapdoor. It doesn't like move. Everything moves afterwards. You know, like Jabba's.
That's
Jabba's,
true.
You know, that
little dais slides.
That's right.
Afterwards.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Either way. And it ends with. The teacher is being shocked by the actions of the principal.
Which I love that I didn't realize he was the principal. So my notes, he's Mr. Mayor, but it's like lowercase. Like I knew that wasn't the mayor, but for some reason, that's what I decided to note him as.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair.
I love the weird spotlight action we get at the beginning of the minute.
Yeah, I mean, the whole first part of this minute is really weird anyway. You know, just the way that, you know, you see half of the people stop dancing and the other half are continuing to dance. You know, it depends on which side of the maw you're on. You know, Everyone on the right-hand side have stopped. And everyone on the left-hand side, You know, we at the beginning, at least, everyone's still dancing. You know, George and Mary are the most oblivious, but you still see people dancing as they start getting closer. And you're 100% right about the spotlight thing. You know, who is manning the spotlight and why are they trying to, you know, spotlight on Mary and George? You know, are they aware of the fact that the odds are these two people are going to fall into the pool?
It's so weird. And I read it as like, yes, people on the left are still dancing, but like they know what's like they're aware. George and Mary are the only ones that are totally like again oblivious to what's happening. And
yeah.
They're so cute, and he's like, "Well, we must be good."
That's right. You know, like there's a lot of cheering and screaming, and you know they don't really understand what's going on. And then we hear someone scream, "Stand back, everyone! Stand back!" And then George turns to Mary and goes, "They're cheering us. We must be good."
Which is the sweetest thing.
Yeah. And, you know, first of all, the camera work here is amazing. You know, that the way that the shot keeps moving around, you know, sometimes we see it from the right side, sometimes from the left side, and sometimes just exactly in the middle, you know, as the two sides are slowly moving apart. You know, and that's the point where, as you mentioned before about the spotlight, where the guy up in the spotlight says, "Hey, why don't I actually just put the spotlight on these two kids? You know, see what they're doing."
But there's also a second. second spotlight that I'll just kind of shine in the middle of the water.
That's right. To,
after
well,
bopping
to show
around
you,
for a while.
To show you what's going on in the there. I mean, the spotlight actually starts off on the right-hand side also. You know, you see all the yeah. couples that are like pointing and laughing at them. You know, a bunch of them have just stopped doing whatever they're doing in order to continue to see what George and Mary are doing. And then everyone on the left side at a certain point also stops. And these are the only two people that are continuing to dance. And, you know, I guess it sort of shows not just that they're oblivious, but the two of them are starstruck with one another, that they are in completely different worlds, in a completely different world here. You know, they're no longer in the Beverly Hills high school, the Beverly Hills High School swim gym. You know, even though they're in Bedford Falls, New York.
The Bedford Falls swim gym. Let's be clear.
Of course.
Yeah, it's a really sweet moment. And of course, that whole, you know, the crowd screams whenever they get close to the edge, but they think they're cheering them. And it's just a nice moment.
Yeah.
And then
it makes you wonder where, you know, the writer, I mean, we talked a little bit earlier in the week about the fact that, you know, that most of this was done completely from scratch, you know, because it's not really connected to the actual, you know, to the original story of what this is based on. So it makes you wonder, where did they think of this?
I think they just really wanted to build up the Mary and George relationship. Like, because like you said, it gets very dramatic and very dark later. And I think they knew that we needed to see this lighthearted, like, courtship beginning of the relationship to anchor that, I guess, is the word. That's not the word I'm looking for, but you know what I mean? Like, we needed this funny start of the two of them so that later, when it all goes to heck, we're more devastated.
Right. Okay. Because it also shows the type of connection that the two of them have from the beginning. So it also shows mm-hmm. why they stick together, you know, through thick and thin, through everything that goes on with
yeah.
them. You know, yeah. because even though this isn't like their quote unquote meet cute, because the meet cute was, you know, was in the second week of the show, you know, when they met each other, you know, in the drugstore.
Is it a meet cute if only one of them knows it?
Well, I mean, this is something we discussed at the time, but did you notice the fact that he, you know, we talked about it when we talked about those minutes a few weeks ago, but, you know, when he asks her if she wants coconut on her chocolate ice cream, and she says she doesn't like it, and then he berates her for it, but then you see that he puts tons of coconut on mm-hmm. her ice cream still. You know, like, it doesn't matter that she said that she doesn't want it, and she doesn't complain. You know, that's just love-struck Mary. You know, that she's still willing to take it from him, you know, even though that's not what she wants. You know, that doesn't make a difference from that perspective. We see a shot of what are assumed to be teachers and the principal. When they, I like that they have tags on them that say committee. I assume that this is the Charleston tapping out committee. You know, there's what other committee could the principal be on at this point?
Or some sort of chaperoning committee-esque thing.
Yes. Now, the principal is played by an actor named Harry Holman, who actually passed away just a few months after this movie came out. He was born in 1872, and he died on the 3rd of May, 1947. And this movie came out right, you know, at the end of 46. He was 75 at the time of his death, but he had been in a ton of movies. He was in 137 movies during his career.
Wow.
And he was in Meet John Doe, which is, you know, one of Capra's movies. And it goes back to what
not
you were saying.
Not the Brad Pitt one.
No, that was not Meet John Doe. That was... Meet Joe Black.
Meet Joe Black.
Meet Joe Black. Right. And he played a character named Mayor Hawkins, which is hilarious that you thought that this was the mayor.
There we
Maybe
go.
you were thinking just of Meet John Doe,
He
which you,
has a mayoral air to him.
yes, okay, that's fair.
The
That's
principle
fair.
makes so much more sense. I just, no, I love when they fall in that they're dancing in the water and you can see Donna Reed laughing. It's the best.
That's right. So the principal, tries to calm people down, and the two of them continue to dance, and they're dancing back and forth, and everyone's cheering them on. And I love the suspense that Capra gives us by having them come really close to the edge, but not go over the edge. Because you when you're watching this for the first time, you don't know how long it's going to take until they actually do fall into the pool. And it's done really well. And a lot of people are clapping and cheering around them. And at a certain point, they get really, really close, and everyone just cheer. I wonder when they were filming this, how they filmed this type of scene. Did Capra say, let's do it so many times that you're getting really close? Because Jimmy Stewart and Donna Reed have to have great timing in order to get so close but not fall over. If they were, since I'm assuming they were really filming this in, in the Beverly Hills high school. It takes a
Well,
lot of
and
coordination to set something like this up, for.
could they pause the swim gym mid-opening? Do you know? Because if I was Capra, what I would have done is pause it so that they at least weren't dancing on it moving.
Okay.
And that way they
Anything's
could still
possible.
get close to the edge.
Right.
And I mean, also where the camera is. I wonder how close they actually are to the edge. You know what I mean? Like
Right.
you can make it look closer depending on the
Force
camera angle.
perspective, right.
Yeah. But I wonder if he was able to pause it partially open so that at least they're dancing on a solid, not moving surface. You know what I mean? Like that would really help with the timing. And like when they're dancing, you're looking at them dancing and they're moving and the crowd is moving too. So you wouldn't really be able to tell, I don't think, from
Right.
that angle, but who knows?
I wonder how many times they
There
had to
are
film this.
shots. Do they have doubles for the above shot when you can see that it's moving and they're dancing nearby? I wonder if that's really Jimmy Stewart and Donna Reed.
Well, it looks like them, but that doesn't mean anything. Just because it looks
Yeah.
like them doesn't necessarily mean it is them.
Oh no.
In Die Hard, we were able to see a few shots where Bruce Willis. Where it was Bruce Willis's stunt double because it didn't look like Bruce Willis, but
Yeah.
here it's hard to tell if it actually is them or not. I don't think that
Yeah.
IMDb even has any people listed for stunts
No,
because
back then they
they weren't
didn't,
doing that back
like
then exactly.
if there were doubles or anything. Yeah, because like the actual jump.
Actually, they do have three people listed on IMDb for stunts. One of them is Donna Reed's stunt double. And then two other people who were listed under stunts, and all three are listed as uncredited.
It's gotta be for this scene. I
Probably.
mean, I feel like, don't you think?
I'm trying to think
Jumping
if there's
down
any
the
other
concrete like
scene.
that?
Yeah, I don't think there's any other scene where you would need that. So it makes sense. It makes a lot of sense that it's a woman named Lila Finn who played she would do swimming and diving stunts. There you go. She was a world-class athlete, a member of the women's volleyball team. She was a silver medalist at the age of 50 in the Pan American Games, and she appeared in over 100 movies. Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it says that she did swimming and diving stunts for Dorothy L'Amour, Vivien Leigh, and Donna and Reed.
Hey.
So it is very popular.
Yeah.
Wow. She was even in RoboCop 2. That's how long she worked. In 1990, she was still doing stunts. She was
Love it.
born in 1909. That means she was 81.
I love it. Yes. Oh,
wow. That's crazy.
91-year-old stunt lady.
That's right. And she passed away 10 days short of her 87th birthday in 1996.
Oh.
Yeah. But her birthday was actually at the beginning of this week. Actually, 2 days ago on the 28th. So that's actually really interesting. For the scene. There you go. And so I think we can safely assume that they use stunt doubles for this.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. But I love the way, like, so once they're in the water and George grabs her and keeps dancing with her, and like, that to me looks like a genuine laugh. I know Donna Reed's an actress, but, like, there is part of me that thinks this was, at least to some extent, she did not know if this was going to work, and then the fact that it did made her laugh for yes. real life.
Mm-hmm. And I mentioned earlier in the week about, that I listened to the commentary from Janine Bassinger, and she actually mentions that one of the great things about this scene is that everyone thinks that the joke, the punchline here, is the fact that the two of them are continuing to dance in the water. But she said the real punchline is the fact that as they're dancing and everyone's cheering, you know, everyone just starts jumping into the pool, which is not something you'd expect. I mean, all these people are in black tie attire. You know, this is graduation. All the men or boys, which, however you want to refer to them, you know, are in tuxes, and the women are in fancier dresses, and none of them care, and they all just jump in the water.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, we even had that line 2 weeks ago where Harry's mother said, "You're going to ruin your tux," and he goes, "I don't care, it's George's." You know, so, you know, go show the teenagers back then also didn't care about their clothes.
I was going to say, I grew up on stories of, like, everyone jumping into the pool clothes. And actually, this is, like, the most famous jumping into the pool scene. But I also grew up on stories of Ethel Kennedy used to, down at their house in Virginia, they had an in-ground pool. And they would put plexiglass over the pool and put, like, chairs and stuff out and have parties on top of the pool.
Oh, wow.
Or have walkways and stuff. And so, and there's a lot of stories of, you know, her thinking it was hilarious to push guests into the pool fully clothed and Jackie being like, "You're not messing up my dress. No way, lady." So I was like, I grew up on stories of, like, yeah, fancy people. They jump into pools. It's a cool thing. I saw one too many movies, obviously.
No, there's no such thing. I do not believe there's such a thing, so you don't have to worry about that.
Yeah. And I love the little principle, his little, like, if you can't beat him, join him.
Right. But before that, there's even better, where we see Othello and Iago, you know, standing there watching and seeing what happened with George and Mary, and then everyone jumping in, and the two of them just say, "What the hell?" And they basically just jump into the water also.
Yeah.
You know, meaning that even the two people who did this as a prank realized that this is such a great idea. Just let everyone jump in.
Yeah.
You know, you think that this would be a very chaotic scene to both film and to deal with, because you have everyone just jumping into the pool, and it's very simple, very easily you could hit someone else as you're jumping into the pool. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is a very dangerous shot to have.
I can't believe they got away with it. Yes. That is, you said it was a 5-foot drop. I mean, I believe it. A 5-foot drop of concrete.
That's right. That's right. And then we see, you know, the principal try to stop everything from going on. You know, and I love how he waves his handkerchief to try to stop things. You know, and then he wipes his forehead at the same time. And then he goes, "Get out of there." And he goes, "What? Oh, well." And then the way he... puts his hands together to dive is hilarious.
His little dive.
And so back to what I was saying before about what Janine Bassinger said, this is the punchline of the whole joke. You know, you think that the punchline is that George and Mary are in the water, but the real punchline is taking this, you know, 70-year-old principal and having him jump into the water. You know, that gets the biggest laugh here. Of how it all works through, and all of the teachers are just appalled and astounded, you know.
Yes.
You even have one of the female teachers. You can see that, like her eyes are like popping out of her head as she's watching him, jump over and going into the water. And then like one of them starts laughing. One of the men starts laughing. One of the teachers starts laughing, but the others are all still in shock as the minute ends. It's a very fake dive, no question about that.
Oh, well.
Especially since we don't see him in the water. We see him, just pretending to dive in.
He'd earned a break. He can pretend to dive off screen, and that's enough.
That's right. That's enough for us. You don't have to jump in. I'm actually surprised about the fact that, they would find a way to have a 74-year-old actor, pretend to dive in. I mean, he passed away of a heart attack.
Cool.
Hopefully it is not at all connected to the fact that he needed to dive into the pool.
No, he didn't. He jumped onto a nice little soft mat and everything was fine.
Yeah, probably. That's probably true. And that's all I have for this minute. Do you have anything else for this minute?
No, that's it.
Yeah, but it actually is a great minute, the way that it builds up the suspense, of when the two, when are they going to fall in and how are they going to fall in. Like we know they will fall in, but we just don't know when. And I think that
You
is.
should 100% have, like, in your with your listeners, their favorite scenes of parties where everyone jumps in the pool. 'Cause it happens in so many.
Yes, that is
Bring
definitely
Caddyshack, Almost Famous. Booksmart. I mean, there's so many. But yeah, that would be a fun to see what people come up with.
okay. I mean, it's an interesting trope to have that where people jump into the pool with all their clothes on. I guess it happens mostly at pool parties and movies.
Yeah, I was thinking of the big party scenes, yeah.
Yeah. Do you think it happens that much in real life?
I don't know. I wasn't cool enough to know.
Yeah, neither was I. And we had a pool in my
And
house.
we didn't have a swim gym, so.
We didn't have a swim gym, but I had a pool in my house. But we never jumped in our clothes.
Oh, okay.
All right. So every Thursday we have a segment called Jimmy Stewart Thursday, where my guests will give their top five Jimmy Stewart performances. So Terry, why don't you start with your number five and work your way up?
All right. Number five, I'm going to give to Vertigo, a movie I know I've seen but hold no memory of.
You're very good with it.
I ran out of things, so I put that at five. Number four, I have An American Tale, Fievel Goes West. His last role, it's an animated film. He plays Wiley Burp. My sister's younger than me, and she was just the right age. We loved Fievel Goes West. We watched it constantly. So I had to honor that by putting that on there. Number three, I have The Philadelphia Story. I adore The Philadelphia Story, and Jimmy Stewart is really great in it, but like everyone's really great in it. It's not like the movie hinges on Jimmy Stewart being good.
Right,
So
he also
I
won
had
an
that at
Oscar
three.
for it. So there you go.
Number two, I have Rear Window, another absolute classic. And then number one, I put It's a Wonderful Life because I feel like he's called on to do a pretty wide range of things in this movie, and yet he stays like his character of George is consistent. Like George gets thrust into all these different parts of his life, and he's always the same guy. But I thought just Jimmy Stewart did a really wonderful job with that.
Okay, that is fair. I tend to agree. People have to wait until the final episode to find out what I really think, but
Bum,
I hear what you're saying.
bum, bum.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Only another 106 episodes, 107 episodes to go to. Do you get to hear what my top five are? I will give a hint that It's a Wonderful Life is definitely on the top five.
Okay.
There you go. But I'll keep everyone in suspense for the next how many weeks? A lot of weeks. For the next 20, 21 weeks, I think, something like that. All right. So, Tierney, do you want to tell people where they can find Tierney Steele?
Sure. I always tell people to look for One Steele Sister on social media, O-N-E-S-T-E-E-L-E-S-I-S-T-E-R. One is spelled out. That's really the only important thing there. but I have a website which has links to the book I wrote, to the podcast I've done, and the podcast that I have guested on.
All right. Great. And finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Rob Minute. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on Twitter. And you can find me on my website, movierobminute.com. So, Tierney, you feel like coming back in tomorrow to see what happens to all these characters who are wet behind the ear?
Yes. Yes. Sorry. I'm very excited for tomorrow.
All right. Great. So until tomorrow, hot dog.
Hot dog. Oh, hot dog, hot dog, hot diggity dog. It's time for visits. That's for all the parents out there that get stuck watching Mickey Mouse Clubhouse like I do.
I love you truly, truly dear. Life with its sorrow, life with its tears.